1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
And we are back. We've got a great lineup today. Laura Curran, Errol Tillon, Cletus Sellin will be fighting at the Coliseum on Saturday. The Hebrew Hammer from Shirley. As the elections are over, still, though, there's plenty of business to do. And you know something? We still got to seek out some winners here, especially in the 8th District. And that's where just a few hundred votes separates Bill Lindsay and Anthony Piccirillo, my guest in-house. Sir, tremendous race you've
thank
won.
You, Jay.
You continue to fight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on this morning, and thank you to everyone who cast their ballot for me and even everyone who did it. That's the process. We have to defend the process, defend the election system. And now we're down to the wire. We're going to count every ballot. We're going to fight for every vote. And I believe, and my team believes, that when it's all said and done, we're going to be victorious when the last ballot's counted.
There you go. Also, I want to introduce, he's taking a late morning flight out down to Texas. Did a great job, by the way, in the panel discussion over at the wonderful Stereo Garden in Patchogue on Tuesday night. Wonderful discussion. Always so much to say. The consigliere of LI in the AM, Salvatore Nicosia.
A very bright sunny morning to everyone, and a safe one to get with where you're going. That's very important on a wintry day like we're having today. And I'll tell you something, standing across from my friend here who ran for a very great race, considering that was his first run, and ran against someone that was an incumbent for already 4 years with an established family tradition of being in office, his dear father, who I knew, William Lindsay. And to run a race like he did was absolutely remarkable, because it's been a bellwether for the Suffolk County area. And to see that, because if he wins and another one that's also being counted, if that might result in a tie, and in a tie, we know historically that the person that decides who the majority leader is the county clerk of Suffolk County. We had that once before in the history of Suffolk County. Mm. And we created a history that day when these two gentlemen, Mr. Lindsay and Mr. Piccirillo, came to the school and broke a 50-year tradition of having the students ask the questions. Mr. Sestero, who was the chairman of the department, arranged a meeting. The only shortcoming, if I can be critical about anything that started, is the fact that it was only in the auditorium, which took the kids 10 minutes to get there, and they only had one period. There were loads of questions that were never asked by the students that were prepared by the students. This is unprecedented, because usually when people come to the school, they allow the candidates to speak freely throughout the time, and there's no really bantering about questions that students prepare. And that's why students don't get engaged.
No.
And I think that they can sense that during that particular period, they saw how engaged the students were listening, because they knew that they were asking the questions.
That's right.
Yep.
And
well,
that's critical in all schools of Suffolk County throughout the country.
All right.
Because if kids get involved, we're in.
Now you're talking about the debate, right?
Yeah.
Over
yes.
At
yes.
Station,
that's
right?
A very
that
important
there.
Point.
So that's
point
important stuff.
High school.
Yeah. Very astute of you, Sal, to pick that up. And we thank you for your input there. Anthony, you had a valiant fight. And it's still going on. 200, what is it, 243 votes?
243 down, yeah.
243 and 957 absentee ballots?
Yeah, I don't know the exact number. There was a number in the paper today, but yeah. There's more coming in. So we won't have a solid idea of what that number is probably till the end of this week or the beginning of next week.
Now, I said to you, and I said to many Tuesday night, watch out for Piccirillo in the 8th. It's going to be close. And a lot of people were saying, well, really? Okay. So as the numbers were flashing on the board, it was neck and neck. I mean, let's face it. And, you know, Rudy Sunderman getting that win in the third was huge, because it took away that supermajority there.
Right.
But now you loom large as far as the eighth. What's your overall feel here?
My overall feeling is I thought we were going to beat him on election night, even though he went around telling everybody we were going to beat him by 20. He was going to beat us by 20 points. I knew that wasn't going to happen. When you work as hard as I worked and my team helped me work and everybody in the party helped us, I knew we were going to be right there on election day because I felt the anger from people that were underrepresented. Underrepresented.
It's early.
It's early. And they were mad that they're paying more and more and more to live here.
Yeah.
And they're getting less and less and less for that money. And I knew that people were going to come out and be mad at the polls. The Constitutional Convention was a very big draw. I think people underestimated that from the beginning. But I'm going to tell you, my brother's a teacher. So he told me, and you know, we talked about being against this way back in June. And he said, put it on your palm card. If you're really against it, put it on your palm. And I said, yeah, that's a great idea. And we put it on every piece of literature that we handed out because we really felt we were against it to go after people's pensions. And I think people broke our way for that reason. So, I mean, listen, it's 243 votes. It's the closest race in Suffolk County. There's probably be close to 1,000 ballots to count when it's all said and done. And I truly believe when the last ballot's counted, we're going to win this race.
There you go. So, you know, when you look at these races, folks, you look at what occurred in the legislature and one guy getting through in Sunderman. Over Josh Slaughter, that was Kate Browning's old district, term limited there.
Thank God.
You know, when you look at all the races within, it was really Mr. Picariello who really made more of himself in the spotlight that night than any other outside of Sunderman. And really, it was, you know, and I felt the message. I've had you in here a couple of times and spoken to you. I felt the message that you were trying to bring, and it resonated with the public. Yes, the props definitely help people get to the polls more. And who knows? Maybe some Long Island Railroad folks couldn't get to those polls. And I even said that night with those two situations, that could have a play of some sort here. Unfortunately, yeah. It happened. What are you going to do when the rain came? But in essence, did you feel the message?
Yeah, I felt that it was resonating.
When you're going door to door, did you got the feedback and folks stopping you on the street and talking to you? Maybe you went to the train stations and whatnot. Did you feel something that was brewing where people were saying, you know what, I'm fed up. We got to make a change.
That's it. I felt the groundswell. It was there. That's why we knew it was going to be close. And when we did our poll, we told people it's right near 2 points. And I don't think anyone believed us. I mean, we were telling people, listen, here's the information, showing them on paper, and they still didn't believe us. And then he bragged to a few Republican elected officials that he's not worried he's going to win this thing by 20 points. And come election night, we knew we were right there. When that first 8% came in and we were 150 down, I said, it's going to be a long night. And, you know, we're right there. I really believe we won. Even though he's 243 up in a tally, I believe we're going to win an absentee.
Now, explain to the folks, because explain the district overall. So you're trailing by about 243, maybe 1,000. Let's say 1,000 ballots still need to be counted. Give the folks an idea. Typically, the district, does it lean Republican? Does it lean Democrat?
There are many more registered Republicans and Democrats in the 8th Legislative District.
Yeah.
I mean, so going by that math, even though some Republicans did break for him and some Democrats broke for us Tuesday, I believe that the people who fill out absentee ballots may be more allegiant to party line than a person. So if that is the case and it breaks 60-40 our way, we may win this thing by 3 votes.
It could still really go down to the wire in that pretty much direction, right, is what you're saying.
I mean, I've broken it down from what I know. I don't want, you know, it could be pie in the sky, shot in the dark, but it could be anywhere between 3 and 15 votes.
How big, and in this, to me, it was big. With Sunderman getting through, at least you peel back that supermajority, and at least now Republicans within the legislature are going to have a little bit of a say with bond decisions and some of the legislative approvals. So that was a good score.
Yeah, it's great that Rudy's there. I really need to get in for the taxpayer because they're hurting right now. And just yesterday, what they do, they voted on the budget to increase taxes, to increase spending, to increase borrowing.
And all because sales tax, and you know, we said this, because if you're going to allow for union concessions and sales tax revenues, which have never been steady, by the way, so how do you kind of cite that in the projection as a positive? That was always bewildering to me.
course.
But in essence, you kind of pay the price yesterday, so to speak, for this increase.
After I went, had the debates with my opponent about his reckless spending and his reckless borrowing and his party's reckless spending and borrowing, he was the only Democrat to vote no on the budget yesterday. Now, here's somebody who voted for every budget, every spending increase, every borrowing, and all the bonding that's gone on in the last 4 years. And after running a race where he's only up 243 votes, he comes out and knows the budget's going to pass whether he votes yes or no, and votes no.
Yeah.
So that in 2 years, he could tell everybody when I run against him, if it doesn't go our way, that he voted against the budget. These are all political ploys.
No, listen, right now, the county, and I even said this during the broadcast Tuesday night, you got to really ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 2 years ago? You have to ask yourself this stuff. And you have to look at every... See, the problem on election night is, and I know the props definitely help people get to the polls, but the problem is it's still a broad spectrum as far as party affiliation. People are not thinking about the big picture overall. They're thinking about the individual.
Correct.
So in essence, so now we have the increase, 5% increase in the five western towns, the increase there.
Yeah.
You have the red light camera problem. The fees, the tax. You're still there. So ask yourself, well, how do we change that? See, people are not thinking in that direction.
Correct.
That's the problem.
Well, they have to start paying attention more. It's not just about November 2nd picking up the paper and saying, Oh, it's election year. We have to get out on Tuesday.
And you got to get to the polls. Listen.
To vote.
And voter turnout, we can't say it wasn't good.
It was almost 30%.
It was very good.
Yeah.
It was very good. But the problem is it's the mindset of the voter as far as making the decisions that would better themselves, their families, and the future of Long Island altogether.
Right.
People have to kind of think in that direction now.
Sure. I mean, look at us for example. We spent around $18,000, $19,000 for the whole race, which was raised through, small fundraisers that we had. My opponent between him and
which is another problem, by the way, I have.
I know.
As far as, listen, if the party is touting Anthony Piccirillo as the up-and-coming, well, you know what? Guys like Anthony have to be embraced a little bit more. In order to do that, they need money to run. You're going up against a guy who has party affiliation, who's been a staple in the legislature, and people will support him. And thus, embraced with donations and everything else. That's got to change also.
Yeah, so we spent about $18,000. And between him and the Super PAC, I want to say they spent about $220,000 to beat me. They sent out 5 hit pieces on me. He sent out about 12 positive mailers on him. I sent out 1 mail piece. But I went and knocked on those doors and met those people and shook their hands, and he didn't do that. And that's why it's so close right now. That's why we're only 243 votes behind.
We're talking with Anthony Piccirillo. He is still vying for this legislative spot in District 8. It's very too close a call at this point, folks. You're talking about a 243-vote differential, maybe 1,000, maybe a shade under 1,000 to go as far as those absentee ballots. Let's say it doesn't go well for you in the next couple of weeks, okay? What is your mindset? What does an Anthony Piccirillo have to do if this is where you want to be in this district, let's say, in 2019, what do you have to do? Do you have to do anything different? I mean, you're getting the message out, and it's resonating. Do you start early? What do you do here?
So you stay going to the civic meetings. You keep going to the chamber meetings. Keep going to the Rotary meetings. Keep talking to people. As soon as the weather warms back up, you go back, start knocking now, and just keep running and keep running. And like you're still running the race. Pretend like it's still going. And hopefully, if it doesn't work out, but I hope it does, that in 2 years, we'll be the presumptive nominee, and we march forward. But we're going to be victorious when these last votes are counted. I truly believe that.
What do you think of some of these other races? I mean, you got a sheriff's race, too close to call. It means 1,300 votes, 14,000 absentee ballots. That's another one, Was there any big surprise that you saw within the legislative body that you thought could go the other way or any of the other races?
I thought Dom Spada was going to go the other way. It didn't, you know,
in 18,
Huntington
yeah.
flipped and Dom Spada didn't win, so that was surprising.
Good point.
I thought if Lupinacci won, Spada won, and it didn't happen.
Especially with what happened in the primary, you thought maybe there'd be a little unrest there. Could Doc Spencer see more light? And he did.
He did to me. I mean, when he won the Independence primary, I thought he was very vulnerable, Spencer. I mean, he's voted for all the spending and all the borrowing. I mean, he should have lost. I mean, everybody that votes for spending and borrowing and putting our kids and grandkids in debt doesn't belong in public service as far as I'm concerned. If you can't stand up and make the tough fiscal decisions that you're supposed to make as an elected official, then you don't belong in public service.
Were you surprised in the sixth with Anker and Polakowski?
I was really surprised. Gary ran a great race, but it's very hard to beat the Long Island Law Enforcement Foundation. They are the biggest special interest in Suffolk County. They dump hundreds of thousands of dollars into these races. And you have to remember, this isn't a gubernatorial or an assembly race where the district's big and it's very hard to get to everyone. These are micro-targeted areas where they know that they can send out four, five, six mail pieces against someone. They can run the billboard trucks up through the streets, and they can get their guys out knocking on doors and swing people. And they won that seat 2 years ago by 16 votes. And right now they have this seat by 243. But we almost beat all of that single-handedly just by walking.
And by the way, you know, Perini, Ray Perini was another guy. You know, you talk about embracing a candidate in one of the top spots ever for district attorney. You know, you gotta, the party has to embrace these guys. You know, they have to be able to put their arms around you and say, you know what? We're all in, folks. We are all in. And show the public that. By showing the public that, you know, show some dollars as well. That's what's needed. And to me, it was lacking many an era.
Well, I tell you, the Republican, I just, from what I know, we were a little light on funds as far as overall with Republican to Democrat funds. But Chairman LaValle really got behind candidates this year and went out and did what we needed to do to try to win these races.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, the Democrats outspent us 7-1. But he really, really did the chairman's job of supporting candidates that needed the support that were in those tough races. And Ray worked hard. I campaigned with Ray a lot. And Tim Sinney, as far as I'm concerned, meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
Yeah.
No change.
It's tough stuff. Talk with Anthony Piccirillo, a minute or two left. So the votes to be counted. What do you expect? Some finality here. Are we going to have something?
I'm hearing it could be a week
after
now.
Thanksgiving,
I'm
or no?
It could be after Thanksgiving because you know, there's two races that need to be counted now. So I think the sheriff takes precedent over the ledge race. So I mean, that's a lot of ballots to count. So it could be after Thanksgiving, could be right before Christmas. We don't know, but hopefully we're hoping for a Christmas miracle.
How about that, Sal? What do you think? What do you think of this guy?
Well, I'll tell you, the Board of Elections is certainly going to be busy. And don't forget, even the counts themselves are going to be rechecked.
That's right.
Not just the ballots. Every vote that was cast will be looked over because there were some machines that were not working the way they should have.
That's correct.
And so consequently, there's a lot of dynamics that are going on right now that bode well for those who had a close race. Because basically, it generally seems to go tend toward the people that lost.
Right.
And so, paradoxically, that's the history. And don't be afraid to be proud about the race you ran. You're in good company. Abe Lincoln would have been proud of you.
You did a good job, Anthony.
And Theodore Roosevelt would have been proud of you.
Thank you, guys.
Keep up the good work.
You did a good job. You know, Anthony's one of those guys, you know, he doesn't have a strong political background. But to me, if you have an individual who recognizes the problems and is passionate in conveying that to the residents of his district, well, you know what? He'll fight for you. And that's what you need. You need fighters, and you need people that won't go along with the so-called supermajority and continue to drag down the county in complete financial disarray. I mean, because folks, and I said this before the election, if we continue to go this path, we're going to have nothing. And then by the time changes will be made, it's going to be too late to do anything because we're going to be so mired in debt and everything else. It's going to be impossible to live here, to function properly.
That's right.
You know, we talk about the kids and the jobs and keeping people here and keeping families here. Well, you know what? How do you do it? If we continue to go down this beaten path, of obscurity as far as just needless spending. I mean, listen, you can make the case. You can make the case that there could be some trouble here.
Did you happen to watch the legislative meeting yesterday?
I did not, no.
Oh, I did. Let me tell you something. Kate Browning had the audacity to tell Rob Trotter that he's nothing but a bomb thrower and he doesn't know how to work well with other people. I'm glad he doesn't work
I'll tell
with
you
him.
One thing about Kate Browning. Kate Browning should maybe have another plan as far as if she's going to run for Congress, because her aide in Josh Slaughter, who I think many thought would be a shoo-in in District 3, and look what happened against him and Rudy Sunderman, right? So Kate Browning might not have the aura
to
maybe go about another election.
Him of being a bomb thrower when he's fighting for the taxpayer against the Democratic supermajority, who basically doesn't even have to listen to a Republican. They do whatever they want, whenever they want. It just, it's comical to me that she would call him that.
Tough deal over there. Great having you here.
Thank you, Jay.
Keep up the fight. Anthony Piccirillo. Folks, could be the legislator in District 8. We'll see in a couple of weeks.